Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I did actually have something to discuss with you, and this ties in well because I wanted to ask you what you're doing for Halloween, but I also wanted to take quick note of the fact that we are going to be in New York for the 5th of November, and I was saying to Doug the other day, I was like, I'm so excited, it's gonna be amazing there, and he was like, you dumb twat. So don't forget, there's no Houses of Parliament there. There was no Guy Fawkes, and there will be no celebration of his burning or whatever we celebrated, his hanging. It's actually all a bit sad when you think about it, isn't it? You told me, Mum, that people did sort of like satanic rituals and were doing horrible spooky things and stuff. I don't think that that's happening on Halloween.
Some sort of goat stabbing somewhere. I think, you know, I mean, there's always going to be someone up for stabbing a goat, isn't it? But I mean, it's not something that's going to...
That's any time of the year.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be seasonally appropriate. I think, you know, we're gonna keep our sacrificing to a minimum. Yeah,
yeah.
This year, yeah, maybe bring it back in for 2024.
The world needs a light-hearted Halloween this year, so no satanic rituals. Look after yourselves.
Eat
unless
sweets.
You are a Satanist, of course, in which case, knock yourself out.
Welcome to episode 168 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. I've got lots of scary thoughts about the New York Marathon, which is happening this weekend. Holly has loads of lovely tips from listeners as well as the experts to make me feel less scared. We also have some chat about Halloween, obviously, which is what we all need, with some general confusion and frantic Googling about whether everyone loves it just as much as Holly. We've got some big news. We're holding a live event on the evening of the 9th of November in Sweaty Betty in Battersea Power Station. It's all about how to run with a smile on your face. We've got a special guest in the shape of Jenny Faulkner, and we have jam-packed goodie bags for everyone. There will also be wine. Come along, join us for running tips you won't get anywhere else, and have some chats with us and Jenny. Buy tickets from Eventbrite and search for Women's Running to get your ticket. This episode is sponsored by Randox Health. For 40 years, Randox have been focusing on testing to help protect your future health. Randox Health offers personalized health packages designed to give you detailed insight into your health, measuring data across a range of key areas, including heart, hormone, and vitamin health. Randox Health offers a range of tests across these areas, some of which you can do from home. Accessing data like this can help us make positive lifestyle changes to help prevent illness and improve our performance. Holly and I used the Female Hormone at Home kit, which has helped us to better understand our bodies and our health. And it was brilliant for both of our age groups, with me flirting around the menopause and her being all annoyingly millennial. To find out more about all the services Randox Health offers and to book online, go to randoxhealth.com and use the exclusive code RUN10 for 10% off in-clinic and home health tests.
Right. So,
okay.
Should we do the fucking podcast?
Let's do the fucking podcast. Where are you? Where's your face? There's your face. Hello.
Here I am. Let's do it.
Let's do the fucking podcast. Okay, my lovely.
So, Dave, cut to 40 minutes in.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. 40 minutes that can never see the light of day. Anyway.
I know.
How are you? How are you, my lovely?
I'm fine. I'm a bit Monday-ish. I think we've mentioned this, that we've started, we used to record on Fridays. So you may have noticed a pep in the step of the pod when we did that. Whereas now we record on Mondays, which is why we start every episode by saying how much we hate our lives.
Yeah. We're going to go back to Fridays. You know what? We're going to go back to Fridays as soon as we get back from New York. Because
are we?
Mondays so are shit.
Because we can't do Monday on New York. I mean, yeah. I guess that's the main thing, really, when talking of how we are. I mean, very, very excited, of course. Mm-hmm. Do not get us wrong. But mm-hmm. I'm anxious about New York. So I cannot imagine how you're feeling. I think we should, first of all, take our hats off to ourselves, because I think we've mentioned this to each other before, that, you know, this time a couple of years ago, I could never have imagined us going on this trip. It's quite brave, because we have both struggled with anxiety and things post lockdown, and it does feel quite intense to do. It's also literally a weekend. It's almost 36 hours or 48 hours or something, in no, a bit more than that. 72 hours in New York.
It's a flying visit, isn't it?
It is. It is a flying visit, and we've obviously got our very exciting Sweaty Betty event next week. So next Thursday, in Battersea Power Station, Sweaty Betty store. Do come along. Ticket links in the show notes. But it just feels like we've got a lot going on, and I think we're both kind of taking deep breaths and taking everything day by day a bit.
Definitely taking things day by day. Yeah. I must admit, it was only last night that I started checking things like the weather and trying to work out what to wear, and also doing that kind of, I remember doing this before, but doing that thing of last minute website frantic anxious scrolling for week before marathon tips. That's what I've been looking at, and it's just been looking at those and thinking, have I done that? Have I done that? Have I done this? Have I done that? And I was doing that at like 11:30 last night, and the top tip on all marathon week before tips is go to bed early. And I was like, oh, bollocks,
is it?
I've already fucked up the first tip.
Oh, well, I'm just giving you a little bit of, here we go. Sorry if you heard me tapping away, but I remembered putting something up not long ago about how to tackle Maranoia and marathon related nerves in the week before. Mm-hmm. Would you like me to share some of those tips with you?
Yes, please.
I mean, in theory, here's a bit of an insight into Esther and my jobs. This did come from the magazine, so this is something that you've commissioned, but I'm going to read it back to you now.
Thank you.
So these are some quick tips. First of all, control the controllables. That's the first tip. Right. So I guess that includes things like the kit that you're going to wear. Obviously, we can't control stuff like the weather. Though actually, the weather looks all right.
The weather, actually... No, it does. It does. But it's actually warmer, warmer than I was. I mean, I think I had a text from, because lovely Helen Thorne from Scummy Mummies is also running it. And I had a text from her last week, and she texted with a thing of the weather, a picture of the weather saying, ooh, look great. And I think it was supposed to be on her app, 12 degrees. On my app now, sort of 5 or 6 days later, it's like 18 degrees. So it's like,
oh my
And I
can't
because
I'm on airplane mode because I'm a diligent podcast recorder.
But I bought like loads of hand warmers and things like that because I this was me controlling the controllable. I bought hand warmers. I've got, you know, I've figured out the kind of layers I'm going to wear for what the expected 2 to 3 degree kind of temperatures. And now it's going to be 18. So I'm like, I've got to wear short sleeves. It was all just like, shit, oh, what God. Am I going to do?
Did that come through, by the way, then? That noise?
No. What was the noise?
Phew, fine. Somebody tried to call me on my laptop. I didn't realize that could happen. That serves me right for putting myself on airplane mode. I thought I'd avoided anything like that. Oh, thank God. I'm glad that didn't come through. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, I think that maybe sounds quite good, though. 15, 16,
17, 18 degrees.
It's going up into temperatures that maybe are a little, but...
But actually, no, I'm with you. It's for me, it's perfect because I have such cold hands and such cold feet. And by the time we start, I am going to be, no matter what the temperature is, because I think my Raynaud's, like, it kicks in with stress as well as anything else, right? So it feels like my body seizes under cold and anxiety. So my hands will get cold and my feet will get cold and all that kind of thing. So actually, if it's kind of almost t-shirt weather, that's really, really good for me. So
fab.
Yeah, okay. I'm happy with that.
Oh, and it does look, from looking the other day, it looks clear skies, sunny, really nice. I think it's going to be a beautiful day in New York, and we're going to finish in Central Park together.
We
are. It's going to be a joy. I can't wait to meet you at the finish line.
So
that's one of the tips.
I know, okay, it's going
to
be amazing.
So yeah, one of them is control the controllable. I mean, you already do that with, you've done, like you're saying, with the kit that you're wearing. I suppose the other good example of that would be like your nutrition strategy. So knowing exactly when you're going to have a gel. But I guess the rest of that all means that with controlling the controllables means letting go of the uncontrollables. And you might be a bit knackered. We might be struggling with sleep. We might be... a bit jet lagged. All of those things might not necessarily be within your control, and I think it's letting them go a little bit and not letting it give you too much anxiety, because you will be fine. You've done it before. Yeah. You've done it before. On how much sleep did you get the night before the London Marathon when you did it for the first time?
Yeah, like very, very little, maybe a couple of hours. So you're right. Like before the London Marathon the second time, I worked much harder the week before at going to bed at 10, making sure I got good sleep when I wasn't feeling nervous and anxious.
Yeah.
Knowing that kind of the night before I would get shit sleep. And actually the second time I did the London Marathon, because I was expecting it, I kind of didn't. I was fine. But we know what we were like in Berlin. We're rubbish, aren't we? So I've done the thing of getting eye masks and earplugs.
Nice.
The other thing I want to try and remember to do as well is to take those awful neck pillow things for...
Oh yeah, I've got a neck pillow.
Have you? I'm going to get one.
Yeah, we'll bring our neck pillows.
for the aeroplane on the way back. But yeah, definitely anything we can do to try and sleep those two nights before.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited for what films we might watch on the plane.
I know.
Yeah, I think it will be fine. And also, I do want to say as a quick aside that you're acting as though it is, I don't know, Friday night or something, and you've been going to bed at 12 o'clock at night for the last few nights. It is only Monday morning. You're still 6 nights out or whatever it is. Like, there's plenty of time to get loads of sleep. You'll be so fine.
I really, really hope so. I mean, this is just, you know, on the proviso that I managed to get through like Halloween intact.
We'll talk about that in a sec.
talk about that in a second.
Let's talk about Halloween because I'm excited. I'll quickly run through the other tips. It's a whole big piece on our website. Please check it out, Tackling Maranoia. But other top tips are don't focus on the things that are out of your hands. We've kind of covered that. The weather, other runners, things that might possibly go wrong. Try and get a good few nights sleep in the days leading up to the race. We've covered that as well. If you're feeling really panicky in the last few hours, then maybe trying some meditation. Obviously, this is not the week before. This is night before stuff now. But Josie Perry, who we've had on the pod very recently, took us through some brilliant tips the night before the Paris half that included things like spinning around to reorient yourself. I like that one.
Oh, yes. That was brilliant.
That was good. The science behind that is something to do with your field of vision slightly sort of narrowing or something when you're anxious. And so spinning around and sort of literally like recalibrating yourself like Google Maps or something.
Yes.
Kind of sorts you out a bit. And then also color breathing, which we both loved, where you breathe in a certain color and then breathe out. Oh, so relaxing.
I love that. And the reason why, we all love that. I don't know why that kind of resonates, but it really does, doesn't it? But it was something that I remember doing, and I've probably mentioned it before, but I remember doing it with pregnancy yoga, where you breathe out, I think it's called golden thread breathing, where you sort of breathe, you sort of assume that you're sort of blowing a very kind of light golden ribbon. So you get that kind of long extended out breath.
And I love that.
And I think this is very, very similar, isn't it? It's kind of imagining that kind of you're breathing out a calming, lovely colour.
It really difficult, easy, sorry, to distract yourself. Well, I guess difficult to focus on anything else, doesn't it? It's like, it's quite all consuming when you're focusing on the breath, and that's quite an internal activity, but you're also focusing on the external. When you're imagining the visuals of that makes it quite difficult for anxiety to creep in anywhere, because you've kind of got both of those bases covered a little bit.
I think it's a really, really clever technique. I thought that was great.
Yeah, it's brilliant. There are a few more tips, but they're generally for the night before, so I'm going to save those to tell you when we're in our hotel. But one thing that I found really, really interesting, so this piece has got all sorts of stuff, like it breaks down how to tackle paranoia around fears of failure, how to tackle paranoia around injury, how to tackle paranoia around having an embarrassing moment. But I remember the thing that I found the most interesting was, she's called Heather Townsend. That's her name. She's an elite runner, and she talks about this a lot on her Instagram. She's definitely worth a follow. I can't remember her handle now, so that's not very useful, but I'm sure if you search Heather Townsend, you'll find her. But she actually did poo her pants in the London Marathon last year.
And oh, her.
Have you heard of her? Yeah. And she does a whole thing where she talks about what it's like to actually have the thing that you're lying awake the night before the marathon going, what if this happens to me, happen to you? And about how it really was not the worst thing that her brain really... like what her brain had dreamt up was really not like as terrible as it all could have been. Like, she still finished it. She was really proud of herself, and she had a brilliant story to tell everybody afterwards. And I think actually there was some genuine health benefits from it, that she had, she's got two children, and somebody reached out and was like, oh, if you need sort of, that shouldn't necessarily be happening. Like, let me see if we can work together and help you with some of that stuff. And she ended up speaking to a specialist and had some great health benefits and chats from the whole experience too. So like, it was really not the worst thing that ever could have happened.
I loved her. I thought she was a wonderful advocate of just of running your race and like just ignoring what other people are thinking about you running your race. I do think that's wonderful, but I'm always more concerned, I guess, because my anxiety is never, that it's never specific. Do you know what I mean? I'm not actually worried about shitting my pants. I'm not actually specifically worried about getting an injury. I don't think, maybe a little bit, but I'm just more, it's like general kind of paranoia that.
Yeah.
And I can't for 1 minute say to you what it is that I'm worried about happening. I'm just worried.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I think it's really useful, like seeking out specific experiences and stuff when you are somebody who, when you genuinely have like a particular fear. But if you're just anxious because there are plenty of unnamed things that could go wrong that your brain can't even dream up, then I think that's where we go back to the stuff we were talking about, like the breathing techniques, meditation, just reminding yourself to be in the breath right up until you are on the start line. And even during the race, really, it's like living in that one single breath. Somebody said that once to me and I found that really useful, that rather than trying to think about, oh, what if this, you know, what if this happens and how many hours until this and blah, 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 just trying to exist in that single moment as you know, as much as you possibly can throughout the experience, so that you're not fortune telling for yourself the whole time going, oh my God, this is going to happen and this is going to happen.
That's very, very, very true. And I think there's also a lot to be said for having confidence in your own thinking sometimes anxiety can take over negatively and whatever, but having the confidence to kind of understand what my body needs in that moment, like for I know I'm kind of hedging around it a bit, but like for instance this week I know that in order for my sleep to be early and good quality sleep, I know this is preaching to the converted and everyone knows this shit already, but I need to read a book for 5 minutes before I turn my light off rather than look at my phone. And that does lead to, generally speaking, better quality sleep. I'm not going to be drinking any booze. I haven't done for about half a week now. Although that I'm not to be congratulated, because the whole week before I was just drinking every night because it was birthday week.
Oh, fine. Whatever.
Fuck it. But birthday it's kind week. Of knowing myself in that.
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure I've drunk for the last like four nights in a row and it's not my birthday week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. Well, we do what we have to do. But and the rest of it is just like, I know that at the moment what I'm doing is I'm literally, not literally, figuratively clutching at straws, where every night I'm looking at those websites that are saying do this, do that, do this, do that, and getting very upset with myself that I haven't done this, and looking at other people's social media accounts who might also be running a marathon, and looking at the distances that they've run for their long runs, and yet again going, oh, they've run more, they've run less, they've run differently, and constantly comparing. And actually I need to be confident in myself and in my training that I've done what I've needed to do. I am not going to do any more bloody intervals this week, even though it does say on my plan I should be doing something.
No,
I'm not. I'm going to do two short runs.
Is how I feel.
Fuck that shit. And I'm going to eat the food that I like to eat. I'm not going to suddenly force myself to eat food that I don't like eating. I'm going to eat the food I know that works for me. I am going to start eating breakfasts, you know, things like that. But I'm not going to start eating things that I don't know or that I shouldn't. And I'm going to enjoy the pasta and I'm going to have the pizza. Oh my God, New York pizza.
I'm so excited about New York pizza. I can't believe that we're going to be there. I did actually have something to discuss with you, and this ties in well because I wanted to ask you what you're doing for Halloween, but I also wanted to take quick note of the fact that we are going to be in New York for the 5th of November. And I was saying to Doug the other day, I was like, I'm so excited. It's going to be amazing there. And he was like, you dumb twat. So don't forget, there's no Houses of Parliament there. There was no Guy Fawkes, and there will be no celebration of his burning or whatever we celebrated, his hanging. It's actually all a bit sad when you think about it, isn't it?
It's gruesome, isn't it? Yeah. But we like to celebrate a horrible death, don't we? So
We do. Yeah. So I'm gutted about that, but it is what it is. And I'm sure we'll cope.
So funny. But okay, so we're going to miss out on Bonfire Night, but what are you going to do for Halloween? I bet you're going to do something nice.
I am excited. I've got two plans. So tonight, I did pumpkin carving with my niece over the weekend.
Nice.
Which was lovely. Well, she didn't really get involved in the pumpkin carving, mainly because also Doug decided it would be the best move to use a drill this year. So not super Jesus. Safe to have her around power tools. So the pumpkin looked amazing. But we made like sort of spooky gingerbread and things together, and she was just very gorgeous and it was very sweet. Tonight, I've got a couple of friends coming around. We've been playing a horror video game, and it's like, oh my gosh, if anybody who listens plays video games at all, I haven't really discussed this side of myself on the pod, but I love it. We've played quite a lot. And and one of my faves of all time was this game called Until Dawn that we played, where you all play a different character. There are like 10 teenagers or something, and they all obviously die one by one in gruesome ways, but you can keep them alive if you make the right choices, but it's like a decisions-based thing. And it's so much fun. And they've released a whole bunch of new ones since. So we're doing one which is based around H.H. Holmes and his horrible serial killer hotel, where we all play a different member of like a film crew who are doing a documentary about it. And then obviously they get haunted and it's all awful. So we've got one more chapter of that game to finish off. And so they're coming around tonight and we're going to do that. And I'm going to make a charcuterie board to look like a skeleton.
Ooh, that's good.
I'm excited
how you can
about
do that?
It.
How on earth are you doing that?
Camembert head. I think camembert head, I might like cut sort of slight eyes and skull shape out of camembert head.
Lovely.
And then maybe just like cheap bits of other hard cheeses, could be bones. Mm-hmm. Carrot.
Breadsticks.
I thought maybe some sort of carrot ribbons, breadsticks, plenty.
Ooh, yeah,
that
nice.
I reckon we can do. Chutney could definitely be incorporated for detail. I found an Instagram clip of someone doing it. So I will probably copy exactly what they're doing, but do carrot ribbons instead of prosciutto.
Sounds absolutely
plan.
Olives, amazing.
Eyeball olives could be
eyeball,
involved.
Yes. Lychee is
I'm
always quite
excited
good.
About that.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Yes, true. Though I don't know whether I'm going to be able to get them from Co-op because my local Co-op is fucking shit. If Co-op listen to the podcast, oh my God, I've got some serious words to have with you.
Please
stock anything other than just like ready meals and then shit wilting veg in just in our local one. Just in our local one. I'm just saying. So I'm doing that tonight. And then tomorrow we're having a bit of a sort of kids style Halloween party with some of our friends that we decided that we would do kind of apple bobbing and watch Hocus Pocus and do a bit more less spooky, more fun. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I knew you'd be doing something. Are you dressing up tonight?
I'm doing some quite fun stuff. I haven't actually thought about that side of things, but we've got relatively extensive dressing up stuff because Doug comes from a long line of dressing.
Of course. Oh my God.
We've got loads of weird stuff. So I'm sure I'll find something.
Amazing.
Yeah, in the dressing up box. But I haven't sort of bought a costume or even really thought about it. It will probably be something very basic. Like I might just stick a witch hat on or something like that. I think we might have a fox ears and a fox tail. Could do that, though that's not very Halloween-y. Just trying to think of very easy things I could do.
But in the US, they like the dressing up there doesn't have to even be scary, does it? It just has to be dressing up. So
it just has to be sexy, from what I've heard.
Yes, it does have to be sexy. Yeah, sexy fox.
I haven't got very much sexy going on in the dressing up box. Maybe the fox, actually. That's probably the best shout.
If you just wore that and nothing else, then you know.
Yeah,
here we go.
Then sexy fox. Though I think my friends, if they turned up tonight with the skeleton charcuterie board and our spooky game, they might be a bit shocked if I open the door as a sexy fox.
Yeah, that's true. And that the charcuterie board may not be touched quite so much, just in case.
No,
you've been preparing it in a dangerous manner.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what about you? I imagine you've got fun, exciting things too.
Well, I mean, I don't think it sounds anywhere near as fun, but we did our pumpkin carving last night. Ted lost any kind of enthusiasm for it and just wanted me to do googly eyes. So I've done that on his one. And because normally what I do is I get them to draw their faces on the pumpkin and then try desperately to carve roughly what they've drawn, if you see what I mean.
Oh my gosh, not their own faces. Very sweet. I mean, oh, I see. Yeah, sorry. I was slightly not like, good. What?
But no, what they do is like on a pumpkin.
Actually, you hide this well, but you're a very good artist. So I wouldn't be surprised if you could do a sort of Felix and Ted likeness on a pumpkin.
Oh, I don't know if I could do that. But what I tend to struggle with is that they tend to draw sort of very elaborate designs, and I then have to kind of, with a very big knife, kind of just, anyway. So anyway, he has googly eyes, and Felix, I was saying to her, because I'd seen a really funny thing on the internet where someone had done a pumpkin, like a huge pumpkin, and they'd done a very, very tiny face at the top of the pumpkin, which was just two dots
for eyes.
I find
that so funny.
And it was so funny, and it made me laugh so much.
It's so silly.
So I have done that, actually. I will take a picture and I'll send it to you because it's hilarious.
Amazing.
So we've done that. And then we have a destination road in terms of trick-or-treating. So
trick-or-treating, yeah.
Trick-or-treating is massive on our road. It's like we have a tourist destination here. So we get loads of people from other roads come to our road.
I'm so jealous.
I don't know why that is, but I think some of it is
to do with... No one has trick-or-treated me for such a long time, because when I was younger, I grew up, my mum was the head teacher of the local school, so like no one came to our house because it was a bit, that's gonna give you a spook, isn't it, if you're like, oh yeah, my head teacher. So no one really came to our, and also our house was quite tucked away, now we live in a flat.
Yeah,
and no tricky. One trick or treats blocks of flats. I've never not lived in a flat in Bath. I think maybe one of the years, maybe when I lived in Oldfield Park, which is sort of where lots of the students and the families and stuff live in Bath. I think maybe some people trick or treated, but I've barely experienced it. But the friends going around to our friends Dave and Cara, they live in a small village, and it's got big trick or treating vibes. I'm imagining there's going to be trick or treating.
This is it's lovely because I think it's been that the kind of, it's as a tourist destination, it's been kind of bumped up quite a bit by this. So there's a woman who lives down the road who is Halloween mad. And I was finding out this morning because she decorates the front of their house and porch, but mostly just with pumpkins and squashes. So it's not like spooky spiders or anything. It's literally like an autumnal scene. But when I say decorated with, it's covered. She has hundreds and hundreds of pumpkins and squashes. And this is kind of quite a small kind of two up, two down little Victorian house with a tiny front garden.
That's cool.
But it's overloaded. It's all over the benches. It's everywhere. And I was talking to someone this morning who confirmed that she's grown them all. So she's got an allotment that she uses almost specifically for squashes and pumpkins that she then decorates the front. And not only does she do that, but this year she's had, and I don't know if she's had it in past years, but she's got a bucket out the front with loads and loads of like little kind of, you know, fist shaped squashes, you know, so not huge, but lots and lots of them, so that kids can go and get little ones as well and decorate their own houses.
That's so lovely. I love her. Yeah.
She's amazing.
Oh, I love your road. Your road is the best. Doug and I were literally talking about your road last night.
I love my road.
In our conversation about moving house, I was getting a bit overwhelmed by all the slight decision paralysis of like where we're going to be. And I was like, I just want to live on a road like Esther's road. I'll move next to you and come into your road. Yeah, because
I
mean, it does seem like the loveliest road.
Mm-hmm. It's so nice. And we've got some friends of the kids coming round tomorrow. I've got to reply to about 17 WhatsApps. We've got loads of people coming because they do flock, and it's nice to have a base, particularly if it's going to be pissing down, and just to kind of make cups of tea or a glass of wine or, you know, whatever, definitely for the grown-ups, not for the kids. And then sometimes glass of wine for the kids and a fag. We might pop them up in front of a little kind of ghosty film, but nothing too intense because the kids are scared of ghosts. But yeah, it's basically just collecting sweets.
Hocus Pocus, I've heard, is a classic. I've never seen Hocus Pocus.
And have you not?
I've, I've never seen it. But that's not too scary. That's why I'm watching it this year. I'm really, really excited to.
In for a treat. In for a treat. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, because so. I didn't do Halloween when I was a kid. And I don't know whether this is, but my parents are both, my mum used to go to, well, she does still go to church. And I think she felt like maybe it was not a thing that you did if you had little Christian children. Though I don't think people really think like that now. I think people of all different religions probably, you know, get involved. I don't know.
There's definitely a, yeah, I know, I remember growing up that there were a couple of people, well, apart from anything else, when I was growing up, which was a long time before you were growing up, Halloween was not a thing. So I remember going trick or treating when, because my mum knew about it. She'd spent a year in America in the 60s. So she'd come back and she'd talked about it and knew it as a thing. So when we did go out, when I think when we were kind of probably 12 or 13, I remember going down the road with my friends with a sheet over my head, trick or treating, but no one knew what we were doing or why
what
we were doing.
What you were doing.
No. So this was like mid-80s.
They thought that they were going to be mugged.
Yes, exactly.
And Clockwork Orange kind of style.
The treats that we got were things like an orange or like, I think, you know, or a biscuit or something, because no one had like bags of sweets or anything because no one was expecting anyone to open their door. And I do remember being told off by a chap down the road who was a churchgoer of C of E and just saying that it was what we were doing was fundamentally anti-Christian in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, I can't remember All Hallows Eve where that does come from.
All
is
Hallows
it a pagan
Eve,
thing?
I think that is a pagan thing maybe that comes from...
Quick Google.
I'm going to have to go off airplane mode because I've got to Google this. All Hallows Eve. I'm pretty sure it's what you do the night before, I presume, All Hallows Day. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Halloween or Halloween with a little...
apostrophe.
Less commonly known as All Halloween, All Hallows Eve, or All Saints Eve, is a celebration observed in many countries on 31st of October, the eve of the Western Christian feast of All Saints Day. Mm-hmm. It begins the observance of All Hallowtide, the time in the... Fucking hell, what are we like as a race of human beings? It begins the observance of All Hallowtide, the time in the liturgical year dedicated to remembering the dead, including saints, hallows, martyrs, and the faithful departed. Don't know why they needed to specify all of that, people who are dead. So, yes, I'm guessing then that... so this says one theory, sorry, this is just a Wikipedia page for Halloween. I hope everyone's enjoying this. One theory holds that many Halloween traditions were influenced by Celtic harvest festivals, particularly the Gaelic festival Samhain, which are believed to have pagan roots. Some go further and suggest that Samhain, apologies for my pronunciation, may have been Christianized as All Hallows Day, along with its Eve, by the early church. Okay, this is a lot of specific stuff and things to do with the etymology of the word Halloween, but basically... Mm. I think
what I want to know is
that some Christians observe All Hallows Eve going to church services and lighting candles on the graves of the dead. So why didn't, you know, no offense to my mum, but if she was so determined that we weren't going to go trick or treating, why didn't we do that instead? You're supposed to eat vegetarian food, you're supposed to abstain from meat. Sorry, but I think she was cherry picking there.
Right. Why? Oh, look. So what I'm doing instead
she's
is saying...
because she was scared of ghosts and she didn't want me to
maybe
get
that
right.
Okay. there are Christians today that look at Halloween as a pagan holiday during which the devil is worshipped and evil is glorified.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So that's the short thing.
Okay, thank you. We needed that shorthand. But basically, it sounds like it does come originally from a Christian festival of, in November, you're supposed to celebrate the dead and the saints and things. And on the eve of that, you have a sort of quite pious time where you light candles and abstain from various things. Maybe dressing up and eating sweets and stuff, it makes a mockery of all of that.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't
but
know. Can't possibly comment.
I think,
either way.
Can't possibly comment. I think I was definitely told that people did awful. Like, I remember, no offense, I'm really calling my mum out on this podcast. If she's listening to this episode, sorry, but it's true. You told me, mum, that people did sort of like satanic rituals and were doing horrible, spooky things and stuff. I don't think that that's happening on Halloween.
I think
no evidence seems to suggest that that's what's going on.
Some sort of goat stabbing somewhere. I think, you know, I mean, there's always going to be someone up for stabbing a goat, isn't it? But I mean, it's not something that's going to...
That's any time of the year.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be seasonally appropriate for a bit of a goat death thing. I think, you know, we're going to keep our sacrificing to a minimum tomorrow.
This year.
This year. Yeah. Maybe bring it back in for 24. Don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, the world needs a light-hearted Halloween this year. So no satanic rituals. Look after yourselves.
Unless
you are a Satanist, of course, in which case, knock yourself out.
Go for it. Yeah.
We should have got our woman in STEM this week. We should have got a theologian or somebody on.
Oh, we should have got my favourite reverend, shouldn't we, from the internet. What's her name? Kate.
Oh, Kate. Reverend Kate. What's her face?
Yeah.
We should have got Reverend Kate. What's her face?
Yeah. I would have got Reverend Richard Coles. I wonder if he runs.
My mum loves him. She calls him my friend Richard because she met him once. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw him in a gig in 1984, but apart from that, no, I haven't seen him.
He's in a band, isn't he?
He was in the Communards, which was a very, very yeah, massive thing for
I've heard
us
of
growing
the Communards.
Up. There we go. Yeah. Don't leave me this way. Yeah, it's a big
fair
old song,
to
Jimmy
Reverend Song. Richard Coles.
Yeah, he was before he went the way of the God. Anyway, where were we? Were we going to talk about any more running, or are we finished now?
I've not really got anything to say to you. It's been very dull. The one thing that we did want to talk about that we haven't touched on yet this week before, I have got some letters for you. They're mainly wishing you various good lucks and things. I have to say, I'm incredibly disappointed with all of you because none of you really sent any spooky stories in. And I don't understand. It just didn't really take off. Sometimes we try things on the pod and it doesn't really work.
I think it's as we've discussed before. I think I think few people have gone for a run and had what they would describe as a spooky experience. I wonder if it's because they've had like a scary experience and they can't really sort of turn around and say, you know, some bloke was chasing me down the path and that it was like, whoa.
Oh, Dave put some spooky music over the top of it. Yeah, that's very true. That's true. Okay. You live and you learn.
I don't know. But then maybe someone has a truly paranormal experience and maybe they haven't written in yet. But they should.
I mean, maybe maybe it was genuinely very frightening for them and they don't really want to relive it.
Or have us two take the piss out of it on the pod or something.
Oh, have it. Yeah, exactly. Very, very true. Very true. But while we're on sort of seasonal things.
Yes.
Are you feeling jet lagged?
Am I feeling jet lagged? No.
Clocks went back on Saturday, didn't they?
Oh, they did, yeah. You've mentioned that before, haven't you?
This is a very good time to subscribe to Women's Running or think about giving a gift subscription for that big date in December you might be thinking about. Because right now, when you subscribe, as well as receiving the best magazine in the world, you'll also get a free exclusive Women's Running technical tee worth £35. It's beautiful, it's blue, and it says Happy Running on the back to help motivate you and your brilliant running buddies too. Just go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk/become a member and enter X23WRPOD, that's pod, at the checkout for your free tee. And please remember to send us a pic of you wearing it.
I always feel jet lagged. I felt really discombobulated this morning and I'm starving now, even though it's not too much past my usual lunchtime, but it's because I've everything's an hour ahead in my brain and it's really weird.
I forgot that it takes you months to get over clocks changing. It just, yeah. It's like you have to do some kind
and
of
the clocks
special...
go back in America this weekend.
They do, which is great.
So I've got two clocks going back.
Yeah, but autumnal clock changing is the best clock changing, isn't it? Because you do gain time rather than lose time. I was away for the weekend. I was at my mother-in-law's and she was talking about changing the time on the clocks the night before we went to bed. I mean, very few things you do actually need to change the time on, don't you? Because it all happens automatically.
Yes.
But I was like, absolutely not. I do not want, and I don't want an extra hour in the evening. You know, I don't want to go to bed really, really brutally tired and look at the clock and go, oh, it's only 11 o'clock or whatever, because you've put the clocks back.
Sleep.
I don't want that. I want to get that extra hour in the morning. I want to wake up, which is what I did, wake up the next morning and go, oh, I've just heard the kids getting up. Oh, for fuck's sake. And look at my phone and realize it's 7:30 and think, oh, that's lovely. It's just so nice to have that extra hour. Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that too. It felt really nice. Yeah, it's just been good to get an extra hour of weekend. It was a very long weekend. I took Friday off.
It was. Oh, you did? You
bit
did.
Cheeky of me, really, because I had an extra day and an extra hour.
And an extra hour a day, like 25 whole extra hours. And this weekend when we're in New York, it's the best of times. If it was going in the other direction, it'd be absolutely horrific. But on Sunday morning, on the day
hour
of the marathon,
in bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I have to get up at something like 5 to get the ferry, which means I'm going to be waking you up at 5 as well, because I'm not going to be quiet. Because I'm going to have like 4
Why are you
poos,
getting the ferry?
So.
Sorry, can you explain about this? I don't know that this is going on.
Oh, well, there we go. You don't have to get the ferry. You could stay in bed.
Are you going to Staten Island?
Yeah, basically. So the... our hotel is in Manhattan. Loads of people that run the marathon are going to be staying in Manhattan, right? And you either get a coach or a ferry to the start line, which is weirdly 26.2 miles away. So we have to get a coach or ferry out there. It takes about an hour, hour and a half, something like that. And they all leave at horrible o'clock in the morning. So I have to get up when it's dark, get on a coach and a ferry or something or other, along with a load of other people, all packed in like sardines with no toilet. It's all really horrible. And everyone's doing like anxious sweat or whatever to the start. And you're not allowed to, bearing in mind, I'm veering into, I've gone off clocks and I've gone back onto anxiety again. But bearing in
mind,
okay.
We'll
you can't take
clocks.
A bag
We don't really
you.
Need to come back to clocks.
But you can't take a bag with you because if I want to check in anything, like if I want to pick up a bag at the end of the race, then I have to check it
you
in
to
the
go
day
26.2 miles back
no,
in the
I have
opposite
to,
direction.
You can do that, but you have to do it the day before when you pick up your bib number. So I have to, if you weren't there, for instance, but you will be, so it's fine.
You'd be a bit fucked.
If you weren't there, I'd have, no, it'd be fine. But what I'm saying is you can't, if you've got a bag with a coat and snacks and drinks and things like that, if you want that kind of thing at the end, you had to have checked that in when you collected your number. So when you get ferry or your coach, you are basically carrying nothing with you whatsoever. You turn up empty-handed to the start of the race, and then you've got like 2 hours probably until the race starts to bumble around
That's
in the cold.
Bizarre.
And
so are you going to leave me a bag of stuff to give you so that you've got a warm coat, some sweets, some stuff at the end?
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
Yes. I'm going to do that.
I'm a bit worried that content wise, because I'm obviously supposed to also be going to, I'm going on a jolly, but I'm going to support Esther, and I hoped that I would get great footage of the New York Marathon. However, if I'm not going to be anywhere near the start line.
No.
Because that's going to be miles away. So
miles away.
You may all just have lots of content of me wandering around Central Park and eating bagels waiting for Esther to come over the other end.
There's, I think the final few miles, the final 2 or 3 miles are all through Manhattan.
Okay.
And it's a big, long road, right? So it's right up the center of Manhattan into Central Park. So if you wanted a stroll right down to the bottom of New York, the last time I went to New York was in 1999, and I walked around the whole way. I didn't get any public transport, and I loved it. And actually get to get a feel for New York and to kind of see those big landmarks, you know, the Flatiron Building and Empire State and all this. Just, you can just walk down the main street, well, there's loads of main streets, but you can just walk down one solitary road and you're seeing like 4 big hitters as you walk down it. Everything that's been in every movie you've ever watched. So I would definitely recommend to you, like on that day of the marathon, like I'm not going to get in until like 3 PM or something. So you've got all this lovely time to saunter around and see some lovely things and get kind of a New York kind of flavor. It's going to be amazing. Quite you're going to have the best time.
It is going to be incredible. Mm. The Big Apple. We're going to the Big Apple, everybody. I can't wait.
It's going to be so
I will be
You're going to have so many pretzels.
Oh my God, I'm going to have so many pretzels. I'm going to have so many single slices of pizza, individual slices in a little...
It's the single slices, isn't it? Yeah, or really floppy ones.
Triangle. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. But Esther and I have been looking extensively at food and at other activities. We're obviously there for a very short period of time, but I'm going to do some planning. But I also want you to know that I will be there on hand as your personal marathon... what do they have in ultra running? They have like a crew.
Oh, you're going to be my crew.
I'll crew you.
I was going to describe you as my bridesmaid, but I think that's one.
Yeah, I'll be your bridesmaid of your marathon of honor.
Yay!
Yeah, it's going to be epic. And I'm really excited now. When we talk about it, I get so excited. It's just when I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, have I lost my passport and stuff like that?
Oh my God, freak out. I haven't even checked for mine. So like
I have got mine, though I did freak out the other day that I was like, do we need like a visa or something? But I think that's only if you're there for a certain amount of weeks. Because America is quite strict with that stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, I am. Actually, that's something that I need to remember to raise tomorrow because we're having a little chat with Sports Talks tomorrow. And I do want to raise that too because it's a bit like, are we there for work?
Yeah.
You know, do we have to pretend
that
we're doing something else?
Because when I went to China, I had to get a visa to only go for a week.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. We don't need a visa. But it's just like, do we need to sort of say that we're not like furtively recording podcasts in our hotel room like sneaky spies? So
we can just say we're vloggers, but not for a job.
Just for our own personal distress. But I guess like
we're unpaid in podcast interns.
Yeah, it feels like that sometimes. I think the other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit, because I've kind of got into that already, is the tapering aspect, which has like the paranoia. I know we've touched on that bit, but tapering is a whole other level of kind of, it's amazing and I love it. And I think like the weeks of the marathon plan I've been looking forward to the most are this week that we're in and next week, avoiding the weekend, but this week and next week with a weekend gap are going to be amazing. Like kind of rest and recovery kind of focused. So tapering's lovely, but it's much more technical than I've given it credit for in the past.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of, and I can see, I know I kind of slag it off, but I can see why I've still got intervals in the run that I'm supposed to be doing on Wednesday. I can see why there's intervals there. And it's because you're supposed to kind of retain, I think the intensity or something. You're supposed to retain, you know, the shape of your training, even if you're kind of reducing it by a certain amount each week. I know. I'm not going to do it because it's tiring and whatever. But I can see why some people would continue to do like a little technical run midweek. I'm not going to. But yeah, it's building up your food, building up your sleep, but also reducing your training, but not to a negative effect. Because like some people, and I've had these conversations with people before, but some people might look at tapering and just think, oh, I'm just going to stop now. I've done my longest run. I'm not going to run at all for the next 3 weeks. And definitely that's not the best way to go, really. But also like along with cutting down, like this gradual kind of shaving off minutes and miles and whatever, along with that does come this kind of this overwhelming feeling that you can't do it. Because my last long run was now 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And my longest run in the plan, I think, was 4 weeks ago. So it's like that feels like months ago now to me.
I know, I get that. I get that. But I just think it's a bit of a trust the process thing that like they wouldn't, if you were supposed to do your longest long run in the week before your marathon, then all training plans would tell you to do your longest long run. But instead, all training plans tell you definitely don't do that. So like you are doing the right thing. I get it. But maybe that comes into a little bit of control the controllables again. Like you have done everything following the training plan to a T, to the best of what of your ability and also for what you actually want out of it. You've done brilliantly at, and that is something that you can control. How you actually perform on the day and how that affects things is not necessarily going to be within your control now, but you just need, all you need to do is carry on every day, waking up and going, what am I supposed to do today? Oh, okay. You know, 4 miles and eat a big bowl of pasta. Great. Don't worry too much about the past and don't focus too much on the future yet. It's okay to just take it day by day.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's day by day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, we have to, because like we have got so much on, we've got so much to think about, and even before running the marathon, I've got to think about that plane journey, which is not without its own billions of anxieties and kind of...
I know. I'm not looking forward to the one on the way back because we've got to do an overnight. And I thought that would be a dream because when we went to Mauritius, it was... we did overnight on the way there, overnight on the way back. And it is obviously really good for potentially avoiding jet lag because if you can sleep and then just wake up in another country on the at the time you're supposed to wake up, then sweet. Mm. But that isn't obviously what happens. And I did watch A Star Is Born at 4 o'clock in the morning, like I was going mental, and it was absolutely awful. Oh, it was hell. I was just like, no one else in the world is awake. I'm the only person who's awake, and it's because I'm insane. I just remember feeling that. But it was awful, and I was trying to sleep. But it's going to be fine. I'm kind of looking forward to doing a long haul flight in the day because I don't think I've ever done that before, and I feel like it might be quite fun to just like chat, chill, watch films, like read books. That we can we don't have to force ourselves to go to sleep, because the last two long haul flights I've done, it was like dim the cabins, it's time for everyone to go to sleep, and I was like, oh, I don't think I can. And it
I think I'm so I'm pleased we're going out on a day one, because also we shouldn't sleep, I don't think. I think we should actively try not to sleep on the way out.
Good idea.
That we sleep that night. Mm-hmm. And on the way back, we should try and sleep. And I've also bought like antihistamines to take on the way back to try and get drowsy and stuff. So I can be your drug dealer.
That's a good idea.
I know, right?
Maybe just like a bottle of vodka and some antihistamines and we'll be absolutely fine.
But it's like, I also got like comments from people just saying, oh, make sure you don't drink alcohol on the way there. And I was like, of course I'm not going to be fucking drinking alcohol on the way there. What do you take me for? I'm going to be so seized with anxiety that I am in a tin can in the sky. Like,
I know.
Maybe I should get some Valium. I don't know.
Americans, and this is a huge sweeping statement, apologies to all our American listeners, but haven't you guys have got great drugs out there, right?
I've heard they've got great drugs out there.
Yeah, one of my and relative that will remain nameless because I don't know whether they do this on prescription or not, it takes a Valium every time he flies and it absolutely sorts him out and it's brilliant. Sorry, I'm not advocating for unprescripted drug use here. But yeah, maybe it... no, sorry. It's going to be so fine, Esther. I'm terrified of flying and I don't understand how planes work and it freaks me out. But
yeah,
for some reason, those little tin cans in the sky stay up and they're fine. It's always fine. Yeah. I mean, it's so it's more likely. I remember my dad telling me this and it's not great to hear, but... you're much more likely to die on the M25 on your way to Heathrow than you are in the sky.
I know, but there are more cars than planes. So I can't, you know, it's just like, oh, I know.
Yeah, why is that? What do you mean there are more cars than planes?
So there's, obviously there's more car crashes than there are plane crashes because there are more, more cars.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah. True. I'm sure I could work out statistically though, and it would still be in the favor of what I'm trying to say here. I reckon.
Yeah. Anyway, I just need to not It'll be fine.
We're going to chat all the way through. I'm actually excited for that bit. I love being on a plane because nobody can contact you and it's like you have no responsibilities. It's like you don't have Wi-Fi. You can't do anything other than force yourself to relax. So
that's true.
We can get excited about what films we're going to watch. We can go 3, 2, 1 and play them together.
At the same time.
Yeah. We can get books that we're really excited. I'm going to get so many books because I'm excited to just have 8. I might read a whole book. It's just going to be great. My sister and I made friendship bracelets on in Mauritius. It was great fun. We did that on the plane on the way there.
I love making friendship bracelets, actually. Mm-hmm.
We'll probably get a meal because it's long haul. So that'll be a whole palaver where they do a meal. Yeah.
You might get more than one. Yeah,
I had dinner and breakfast in Mauritius. And I have to say, dinner, nasty. Breakfast, incredible. plain eggs are so good. And I know they don't seem like they should be, but I love plain eggs.
Those two words shouldn't be together.
They work.
My crippling little bit of niggle anxiety at the moment is, do I take my hardbacked book, which I'm halfway through and loving, or do I leave it here and save the weight and take a paperback book, which might not be as good, but I haven't started yet? I mean...
Your paperback book for the flight, but you can take your hardback book in hold luggage?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, okay.
Because then you're not... you might want to read it for comfort if it's the book you're enjoying at the moment. You might want to read it for comfort the night before the marathon or something. But on the plane, I'm sure you'll bash through a paperback in 8 hours if you want. Is that how long the flight is?
It's about like 8 hours, yeah.
I'm going
to
go...
Ooh. I have a really good tip that I don't think we've talked through because it's something that I'm planning to do before this. So if you've got, is it 8 hours or is it a bit less?
No, it's 8 hours. I thought it was a bit less.
So I am going to be wearing the shoes I'm going to be running in on the flight. And I'm going to be taking my running clothes in my hand luggage because I think it was Laura Fountain suggested that as a big tip, which is like
just in case your luggage gets lost.
Yeah, exactly. Because everything else you can buy.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Toothbrushes and pants, isn't it? So yeah, it's just making sure that you've got... The worst thing to happen would be to turn up in New York and not have the right shoes. It'd be just like, fucking hell.
It would be a bit disastrous.
Yeah, so I'm not running them all this week. I'm going to keep them because they're also, I got them soaking at the weekend. So they need to dry out. I need to make sure that they're, you know, ready for my feet.
You're so fine, Esther. This is all like, you're being so you're being way more organized about this than I've ever been about anything in my life. It's going to be fine. It'll be fine. It will be so fine.
I really hope so.
Do you want me to tell you how fine it's going to be? I've got a letter for you.
Yes, please.
Dave, cue the jingle. What are you saying?
What are you saying?
What are you saying this week?
What are you saying?
So this is from Catriona in Australia.
Isn't that pronounced Katrina?
Oh, is it?
I believe so.
Katrina?
Yeah.
Okay. I've met Catrionas before too. But
have
Katrina,
you?
We'll go with Katrina.
Oh, then it could be either. It could be either.
Oh, I've only met one, so maybe she just didn't know how to pronounce her own name.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I'll go with Katrina, because so, Katrina is probably more likely. So she said, I've been listening to the lead up to Esther's New York marathon and wanted to tell you how amazing you are for running even one marathon. Never mind multiple marathons. You are my running hero, not because you do it in some incredible time, although your times are incredible, but because you are, like me, a woman of around 50, juggling work, family, menopause and running, and you are absolutely knocking it out of the park.
Oh, she's going to cry today.
That's so sweet. Oh,
I
that's
know.
Lovely.
Well, she said, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. I'm actually going to very quickly scan to say... I think she's all good for me to share this. She said, I thought I'd share with you a little of my mental journey in the hope that it will help inspire you a little bit back. I was married for 20 years to someone who was fit and athletic, who encouraged me to run, but in a way that always managed to make me feel like crap. He praised my PBs, looked at my finish times, heart rate, cadence, and gave me tips on how to run faster. I used to dread hearing let's go for a run together, as it meant him basically pushing me until I wanted to just tell him to fuck off, which I often did. Anyway, the point is that I never really saw running as something I enjoyed. It was something I did for him because I should, not for me because I wanted to. We got divorced 2.5 years ago, and to my surprise, I kept running, started to set myself longer running goals, and in the process learned about long, slow runs, which became my favorite run of the week. Who knew that running isn't just about pushing as hard as you can for as long as you can? In October 2022, I finished my first half marathon under my own steam and under my own goal time. I was super proud of myself, but I didn't get the huge runner's high that I was expecting because I still felt like my time wasn't good enough to celebrate. After that, I started to look at races in a different way. I let go of the time expectations and started to focus on non-time goals instead. This year, I ran a scenic half along the Great Ocean Road. My goal was just to have fun and take lots of pictures on the way. It was a one-way run, and on the day, there were 35-kilometer-an-hour headwinds the whole way. Oh, my gosh. I was freezing at the start line and I had to have a 10-minute stop at a Portaloo halfway. The last couple of kilometres were brutal, but I crossed the line with a huge smile on my face, having had an absolute ball despite all of that.
Oh.
The first words out of my mouth were, that was amazing. My time didn't matter because I had met my goals by meeting some lovely people along the way, enjoying the stunning views from the top of the massive hill I'd run up, and I'd run further than I had ever run before. So it's a 23-kilometre course, that's why. So she goes on to quickly say, since then, I've done one more half marathon and had the same A goal to finish and have fun again and again, and ended up having a fantastic run. I actually ran a PB, but the thing I remember most was watching the sunrise over the ocean and taking a selfie with some dancing drag queens who were on the course. So there we go.
She's ticking a lot of boxes for us there, isn't she?
She truly is. She knows she is one of our people. So basically she says, Esther, remember that just getting to the start line is a massive achievement. You've worked so hard to get there and you should be incredibly proud. She says that I really hope that you are able to go to New York and enjoy the day, take in the atmosphere and take away some amazing memories. Hopefully you'll get to cross the finish line, but it will be on whatever time and fashion you can manage on the day. Even if you don't finish for whatever reason, don't let that take over your memories of the experience or overshadow your A goal of having some fun along the way.
Oh, bless her heart.
She's gorgeous. And she also says, don't forget, you've got an army of pod squatters with you every step of the way, which is so true.
That's so sweet. That's so sweet and so lovely and just...
Yeah,
and she's absolutely right. I think we share more than just a couple of similarities, me and Katrina or Catriona. That thing of, it does feel like the tipping point for me was that Brighton half, which on one hand for me was great because it's a city that I know and love, and my mum was there at the end, you know, and it was all really nice. But I hated it, and I blamed it on the course, and I blamed it on any number of variables. But the thing that made it bad was what was going on inside my head, which was, why am I not running this in a better time than I had before? And why is this not easier than the last one I did? And it was at that point, rather than even that half marathon that we did virtually, where I was trying to get like the sub two, it was at that point where I just thought, well, fuck this for a game of soldiers. I do not want to do PBs anymore if it's going to make me feel this bad. Like I've just completed a half marathon and I hate myself. What's that about? It's rubbish.
What is that about?
It's bollocks, isn't it? You should be celebrating yourself. You should be so proud of yourself for having done a huge monumental achievement. But I just thought I was a complete kind of sad sack. So it's kind of from then to then see these things as not a time-based challenge, but an experienced-based challenge is a much lovelier
thing. Why else are we doing it? I mean, maybe there are people out there who are pod squadders that really, really do have time goals that are very important to you, and it's no shade towards that, because like that's incredible as well. But I really think the majority of us, like, of course we're there for the experience.
Yeah,
like that's why I'm doing it.
But it's adjusting those. It's like if you're the kind of person where you find that you're the reason to do something is the time in which you do, you know, the PB chasing. If that's the thing that motivates you to do the training and to do the race in the first place, then that's the, you know, top of your kind of your tree of things. But for me, and I still have that in my head, but it, for me, it's trying to just switch them slightly. So that I have all those list of reasons why you're doing the race. And one of them is to keep on feeling as fit as I do, which I love, and to carry on having that kind of fitness feel inside me. And the way that I have that is to maintain my running to a greater or lesser degree throughout the year, sort of thing. And but having a goal makes me feel more fit than I do when I don't have a goal. So that's up there too. Yeah. But it's kind of flicking that little switch so that the bits at the top of my list of the reasons as to why I would choose to do New York Marathon, for instance, that flicking that switch so that the number one reason is to be there and to experience it and to hopefully finish, and to hopefully finish feeling happy, is kind of all those are just, they're sparking off that top reason. And the time, which is still there in my head, I can't not have a time in there, because that's always going to be, so I'd be completely lying. I'd be complete. Yeah. I would be being dishonest if I didn't say that I don't have a time in my head, and I do have a time in my head, but it's down the list. And so lots of me this week and last week, I've been trying to visualize myself at the finish line, having run it half an hour or an hour longer than I have run previous marathons, and just visualizing that feeling and thinking, how would I feel at that point? And I honestly feel good about that, that if that happens, I feel good because I will be there and I will have done this thing in my 50th year. And that will be amazing. And everyone I tell in the whole world, like on the podcast, my friends, my family, anyone that I say, I did the New York Marathon to when I was 50, none of them, well, maybe one of them, none of them will say, yeah, what time? Like, you know, no one gives a shit, do they? I'm not Eilish.
Absolutely not. No, it's going to be incredible. And just remember that there are different ways to measure different goals. Like speed is one, but it's not better than any of the others. Like time on your feet is also incredibly impressive in terms of your endurance. So if you did run it an hour slower, then you will have done a marathon. You would have run for 5.5 hours solid, which is something that you've never done in your life. And would be incredible. Exactly. So like there are all sorts of ways to measure things, and it's just about reframing our mindsets, isn't it?
Yeah. It'll be fine. Yeah. It'll be good. Yeah.
It's going to be a huge slay from you, I personally think.
I really, really fucking hope so. From us both. We've got so much to overcome, haven't we?
I know. Well, we will see you all on the other side. This is actually last pod apart from Bake Off. We will still be getting Bake Off because we are bonkers and we don't know how to relax at the moment. You will still be getting Bake Off on Saturday, but this is the last pod main before the New York trip and before Esther is a four-time marathoner.
And we will do our level best to rattle out a podcast next week. So we will do a kind of a debrief very, very quickly when we get back and, mm-hmm. and go through it all and get that out for you in time next week as well. And then we'll probably need to have several lies down. And
yeah. Well, I think the plan currently, Esther, I might be wrong in saying this, don't want to overcommit us, but I think we were going to try and record while we're out there potentially.
We will do our best. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do our absolute best. If we have technical difficulties, then you might just get us here. But the plan currently is to try and record from a hotel room in New York. And you'll probably hear people going, honk, honk. Oh, pass me a bagel. In the background. That would be great.
Classic New York stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Just classic New York stuff.
Pass me a bagel. What other things do New Yorkers say? I don't know.
Well, obviously, I'm walking here, as we said.
Yeah.
They say things like, hey, I got to take the subway to downtown.
Oh, yeah. And have you got a nickel or a dime?
Oh, have you got a Those nickel or a dime?
Yeah.
Are you going to have a pizza slice? And I hope this isn't xenophobic.
It's probably massively xenophobic, isn't it? I don't know. Can you? Anyway, yeah.
Oh, I hate how busy it is on the subway all the time.
Why don't you catch a cab? Let's catch a cab. Let's catch a cab.
Let's
get a yellow cab. Downtown. A yellow cab. Yeah.
Oh, well, there's more where that came from. So we will see you. We'll see you when we're well-travelled women who are in on a brand.
We'll
see you, catch you on the flip side. Catch you on another continent.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. And do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.